That was a lively and elegant way to get us started. Welcome to WRTI, all of you. Why don't we introduce the musicians of Kleine Kammermusik? Please say your name and describe your instrument.
Sure. Hi, I'm Stephanie Corwin. I play the bassoon, the Baroque bassoon. So my instrument is a replica of an instrument from Germany around the 1720s. Unlike the modern bassoon, the most obvious difference that people see immediately is that it has far fewer keys on it. So it only has 5 keys, whereas the modern bassoon has 20-some-odd, too many to count.
Well, it's beautiful. I know my daughter plays the bassoon, but it doesn't look anything like that.
This looks more similar to a piece of furniture than a bassoon sometimes.
My name is Becca Humphrey. I play cello. This is a Baroque cello. This was built in around 1660s. It doesn't have an end pin. It weighs a lot less. It's also got gut strings, and it's got a much wider fingerboard. And if you look at the scroll, it's a very interesting scroll. It's a lion's head, and that's one of the trademarks of this particular area of the Tyrol.
Hi, I'm Leon Schallhauser. I play the harpsichord. Unfortunately, this harpsichord, it's not an antique. Like I always say, if I had an antique, I wouldn't be traveling around with it. But this instrument is an American-made instrument that was built in 1983. And it's an awkward shape, but it's actually quite light and very, very portable and easy to get around. So it's got one manual only, but 2 sets of strings. So you'll hear a little later that sometimes it'll sound a little louder like it did right now, and that at other times just a little bit more delicate.
When you say one manual?
That means one keyboard. So if you imagine what a pipe organ looks like, they have many manuals,
yes,
or keyboards. This harpsichords can also have multiple keyboards, but this one only has one.
Wow. Well, it's beautiful, and it's amazing that you brought it yourself into the studio.
Yeah, I had some help.
Hi, I'm Meg Owens. I'm an oboist. This is my oboe. It's made of boxwood, and it is a reproduction of an instrument from 1720 or so, an English instrument by a maker called Jonathan Bradbury. But this instrument was made in Basel by Randall Cook.
Okay, here, I can come over here.
Thank you. So I'm Jeffrey Burgess. I'm also one of the oboists in the group. And I play an instrument identical to Meg's, actually, but I've already switched for the next piece. This is an alto recorder. I'll be playing 2 sizes of recorder as well for you today.
That's great. Now, Jeffrey, this piece that we just heard is a signature piece for your group, I understand.
That's right. It's something of a signature for this season because we worked on a video recording, in the Hill Physic House, actually, and we're going to be releasing that video very shortly. It's sort of a music video that takes you into the house and really, you know, gets you in the space with our music. And the next piece we're about to play, if I can go on to that, is called the Dialogue des Trois Graces, the Dialogue of 3 Graces. And this is the signature tune of our concert tomorrow, which is all about the grace and elegance of Baroque music. So we're going to be playing the piece three times on the concert in three different ways to represent those three graces. And we've chosen to do one version for you today with the recorders, and it goes straight into a transcription of an aria where the bassoon plays the vocal part.
Cool. If you're just joining us, we're live in the WRTI Performance Studio with the musicians of Kleine Kammermusik playing 17th and 18th century works. That was beautiful. Now, you're here with oboes, recorders, harpsichord, cello, bassoon, and it's described as wind and continuo. Leon, can you talk about the significance of that? Of this instrumentation?
Sure, of course. Continuo is a very interesting term. It acts as a collective term, as it were, for a family of instruments that play a very specific role. Now, these instruments can include the harpsichord, the harp, the theobo, which is a guitar-like instrument, the actual guitar, as well as sometimes nowadays people are starting to use hammered dulcimer. There's some evidence for that being. And what they have in common is that they play many notes at the same time. Organ, of course, is also another one. That they can act as a glue, as a harmonic cohesion for all independent lines. So that basically means that when you have multiple continuo instruments, everyone will be playing from the same line of music. And that specific line is known as the continuo line. And that is covered by bass line instruments. And in our case, in Kleine Kammermusik, we have the cello and the bassoon. Now, of course, with our specific combination, we sometimes feature those instruments as soloists, also as single line players. But generally, the function is that this collective of bass foundational instruments, when it comes to harmonic foundation and timbral foundation, kind of gives a blanket, a real canvas of harmony and structure for the fancy wiggly bits at the top to sound even more fancy.
And so it's a chordal instrument plus bass instruments. And do they also provide a certain rhythmic
element? Absolutely. That's a great observation. Absolutely. We hold things together by the speed, and on the harpsichord, the speed of how quickly the notes get rolled or how slowly they get rolled, the amount of notes that we do, that we play. And that actually gives what beautiful instruments that can shape the notes really beautifully. We help and kind of highlight that. So it's almost like painting, if you imagine how highlights and shadows work. It's the same kind of shaping that we do, but only on a sonic or aural level.
And this continuo has been carried forward in musical history and
sure.
In different settings, right?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we think that it comes from vocal accompaniment initially, from choral accompaniment. And if you think about church music and church vocal music, that if there were multiple parts to a choir piece, they would all obviously sing together, and to help them and kind of glue things together, the organ would play along. Or if those parts were missing, somebody didn't show up because they were sick or something, the organ could play that part with them and as a whole create a fuller sense to the music.
Cool.
So that's a long time ago. Continuo has been around for a good long time.
And I understand the next piece you will play with for us is by Bach.
That's right. But that's all these guys. That's from the Art of Fugue, Kunst der Fuge. They're doing one of the first counterpoint pieces. You'll hear all of the voices come in differently, and you'll see also Meg is playing a very interesting instrument over here, which she'll tell you guys about afterwards.
Thank you.
Beautiful. A familiar tune heard in a different way. So now, Meg, Leon alluded to the fact that you had to change instruments for that piece.
Yes. I changed to my oboe da caccia, which is D-A-C-A-C-C-I-A, like cacciatore, so named because of the shape. No one was hunting with the thing. But it is a rhetorical name for the curved shape. This is from about 1725. This is a reproduction from an instrument from about 1725 from Leipzig.
So for those of us, for those people listening on the radio, it looks like a hook of some sort.
Yes, I'm trying to figure out how I should hold it. So you can see it best, but yes. This is maple, and it's bent. This was made in Washington State by Sand Dalton, who is out there, and he makes oboes and all kinds of different oboes. And this one is, you have this maple piece that's long, and the holes are put in. Then it's notched and soaked and bent, steel wrapped around the notches, and then leather covers the whole thing. And then it's got the fabulous bell. Don't look at mine, has a dent in it.
So
anyway, it would be beautiful if it didn't have a dent in it.
So was this piece written specifically for this instrument? Why did you switch from your other oboe?
I switched to this one because this instrument is more of a tenor or alto. It sort of covers a tenor alto range. And since we're playing this with a treble instrument and two bass instruments, we can all hit some parts of another range with our instruments. This one fits into the second voice, so you can cover those voices.
Okay, yeah. Great. So. Well, now, it's interesting that you are playing in a historic house. And Jeffrey, what's it like? What's the thinking behind this concert series, and what's it like for you to play this kind of music in a historic setting?
Yes, this is one program that we're doing this year, and it's a collaboration between four groups and the Philadelphia Society for the Preservation of Landmarks. It's a long name, you can find out about it at philalandmarks.com. They've very generously offered access to their two houses in Society Hill for these four concerts featuring four different groups playing different early instruments. And the idea is to bring people into the space to enjoy that as it might have been enjoyed in the 18th century, with music and instruments appropriate to the period. So it's not just about an educational experience, it's also being involved in events of this sort. And for us, the musicians, it's a real treat to be able to play in those spaces, because unlike a studio where we are here, where there's absolutely no natural acoustic, fortunately, those of you listening now are hearing with an added reverberation. But if you come to the concerts in Hill Physic House, you'll enjoy the acoustic that enhances our instruments, that we feel very much part of a space like that.
That's wonderful. Now, Stephanie, the next piece was composed just for this instrumentation, I understand.
Yes, that's right. So this next piece by Fasch, I think it really, so you'll hear something different where the bassoon has its own voice. So it's not participating all the time as a member of the continuo section like Leon was discussing before. In this context, it has its own solo voice. It's a little higher in register. And Fasch wrote lots of pieces for various wind instruments, and it really goes to show what high caliber of musicians that they had in the court in Dresden during that time. So you really hear, and in some other movements of this same piece that we're not going to be performing today, there's some very virtuosic music in there. So you know that these players back then really had some chops.
Wow. So you play a lot of music, I guess, that's been written or transposed for your instruments, but this was actually the ensemble that would have been playing it in the day.
Correct, yeah. I mean, there is a lot of music written for this instrumentation quite a bit, and particularly there's a lot for two oboes and continuo, so that's something that we do a lot, and it gives us flexibility to determine how we configure the bass section in those instances where we share a bass line. Sometimes we'll both be playing the bass line, Becca and I. And then sometimes it'll just be cello and harpsichord, or sometimes just bassoon and harpsichord.
But those are decisions you make?
Yes. So it gives us a lot of flexibility as an ensemble.
Yeah, that's fun. Actually, it's really creative. Okay, great. Beautiful. Now, before we go to our last musical set, Leon, we were talking earlier about what drew all of you to this particular musical group, because you're all doing different things, and I understand three of you live in Philadelphia, somebody's from New York, somebody's from Washington, but you come together for this music. Why?
I know. first of all, I think one of the most important things for us as a group is that when we started to play together, you must understand that we were all freelance musicians, so we're traveling around all over the country playing with different groups, with different people, doing our own thing essentially. But when, of course, running into each other and getting to know each other as colleagues, it's not such a big world for early music, so you all get to know each other pretty well, pretty quickly. We realize and recognize a resonance of personality and musical taste and things that really clicked and worked for us as a unit. And it was actually thanks to Jeffrey in 2014, I think, that we had our first concert together. And it was basically a vanity project in the sense that we really wanted to get together and just play music that we don't get to play that much. There are a lot of standards in the repertoire that we play when we are employed. But we just wanted to give it a go and a crack and see what it was like. And it was very clear from the beginning that, okay, this is fun. Like, we like doing the same thing. We have the same tastes. We enjoy the same music. But we also recognized that there was a gap in a way that for even in the early music industry, there aren't that many purely wind groups. Now, I say purely wind groups or double reed groups because as a continuo team, it would be kind of an expected to be a continuo team. It doesn't have to be. There would always be some chordal instrument to go in Baroque music, no matter what. But you have such an excellent team of double reed players together to explore the actual repertoire that's written for them, and also pushing the limits in a way of transcription for bringing repertoire that we don't get to hear that much to an audience. I think it's just an absolutely fascinating experience for audience members to, first of all, see and then hear these amazing sounds that we don't usually get to hear, also in such a convenient small configuration. You know, we usually see string groups or string quartets or such, but
right.
A wind group, right. It's totally different.
Well, that's wonderful. We are really enjoying it. Please tell us what we will hear as your last musical set.
Sure, we're going to do another one where we'll just tag on two pieces together. So we're going to play a petite passacaille, a small passacaille. A passacaille is a piece that has a repeated bass line. The harmonic structure is repeated, but it's over and over and over with different rhythms and such, but the harmony essentially stays the same. And you'll listen for those that are just listening to it, but for those watching, you'll see also how differently we energize the different sections when they come, although it's harmonically very similar. That will go straight into another little passacaille, which is a little bit more... adapted in a way. It's a little bit more theatrical with much more exciting melodies to go along with it for the upper parts. And you'll hear Jeffrey play a very small little descant recorder. Some people that may have had recorder lessons as children or have children that are playing recorder will recognize the sound, but maybe not in this at this excellent level. I don't know. So we'll go straight from the one onto the next. They're by two different composers. The one is by Marin Marais, the first one, and then Jean-Baptiste Lully did the second one.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've been listening to the musicians of Kleine Kammermusik play live in the WRTI Performance Studio. They are performing a program called Dialogue of the Graces at the Hill Physic House in Society Hill tomorrow evening. You can find out more information by going to our website, which has links to their website and to the website of Philadelphia Landmarks. You also have a new CD out, a recent CD out called Fanfare and Filigree. You can find out about that and about their upcoming schedule by going to our website, wrti.org. Thank you so much for coming into the performance studio. And the sounds are beautiful, and it's just, it makes us all want to hear more. Yes. Okay. So good luck with your concerts coming up, and we hope to see you again soon.